In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, I'm not going to read all of these verses now, but we'll be looking at them this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6 through the remainder of the chapter. And I want us to think this morning about this subject. Heart purpose. Heart purpose. I want you to put a hyphen in that now. Not just two words, heart purpose, but I want you to put a hyphen between heart and purpose, because this is a way of doing things. Heart purpose. And we're thinking primarily about heart purpose giving. The bounty or the effectiveness of heart purpose giving. I take that thought from the 7th verse, where Paul states, "Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give." Heart purpose giving. We all understand that Paul has written to the Corinthians that they should prepare an offering for the Jerusalem saints. In verse 11 of chapter 8, Paul states, perform the doing of it. He compliments them on the fact that they've had a plan in their mind for some time, a plan whereby they might relieve the suffering of the saints in Jerusalem, and now Paul is saying, I want you to do it. Perform the doing of it. It would prove two things. In chapter 8 and verse 24, the Bible tells us that it would be proof of their love, and it would justify the boasting of Paul about their liberality and their willingness, their willing mind, to help those who were in need. The amount that each person gives is to be a matter of the heart. And I can well imagine that when Paul proposes that everyone in the church make an offering, that it would immediately become of concern to the people. That is the idea or subject of how much. You know, that's not an unusual thing, that when we're going to build, for instance, that people would say, well, how much do you think each family ought to give? How much do you think every individual ought to give? What is the amount that we're looking at, Brother Penn? What do we think we ought to do? What do we think we ought to give? That's not unusual at all. And Paul solved that dilemma of how much by saying, let everyone purpose in his heart, and so let him give. Not purpose only. You know, sometimes we stop there and say, now let everybody give as they purpose. And that's not what Paul said. He didn't write and say, let everyone give according as he purposes. But Paul said, as he purposes in his heart. I rather think if Paul had said according to his head, they would have arrived at some mathematical situation where people could give this percent or that percent. If you was over 22, you'd give this percent, and over 55, you know, that what we call the I think there's an income tax, graduated income tax, and how fair that is to everybody. Don't you feel how fair it is, sir? You feel how fair it is. Mathematics can really be fair, can't it? Mathematics can rob you. not according to the head mathematically, not according to what someone else gives. Now, what did that family give? Why, we'll give the same thing. That's not the kind of giving, though that's a good way to give, and it oftentimes works very well, but there is a better way for God's people to support God's work, and that is every man according as he purposes in his heart. This heart purpose, it accomplishes more than any other type of purpose. Look at some of the past history of heart purpose, and you'll see that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a king's meat. And you can see what victorious life Daniel lived because his actions were heart purpose actions. And I believe this is the idea that Paul has in mind when he writes, "Let every man give according to his purpose." That is the purpose of his heart. Now let's look at the characteristics of heart purpose giving. The Bible tells us in verse 6 that heart purpose giving is bountiful. That is, whoever gives according to the heart will sow bountifully. Look, Paul said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." The word sparingly here means to be miserly, or literally stingy. And to reap means to gather a harvest. And the latter part, sowing, means to sow seed. And the word bountifully has in it a rather complicated meaning. It means blessing upon blessing, a gift freely bestowed and thus constituting a blessing to the giver and to the recipient. It has in it the idea of giving so much that everybody feels good. You know, that's sort of a problem sometimes to have the giver and the recipient both feel radiantly happy over what's happened in the area of giving a gift. Now let me show you something. Many times we give a gift and we just feel so good about it, and the person who receives that gift feels so good about it that it is a bountiful gift. And Paul said, this is the way we should sow. So when we sow with heart purpose, that is, with a purpose that goes further than the mind and than deeper than any kind of scheming, when it is from the heart will allow us to sow bountifully. And everyone knows if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You know, the only time you ought to be a stingy sower is when you sow turnips. And you can't be stingy enough in sowing turnips. You get them too thick anyway. Sow bountifully. And from the heart, we're willing to scatter seed bountifully. We're not measuring handfuls and saying, maybe this is enough. But with heart purpose, we're open and generous and bountifully scattering seed. And because of that, we can reap bountifully. And then Paul mentions that heart purpose giving gives ungrudgingly. You know this word grudge. I don't know who invented that word. Some human invented that word. But you don't have to ask the definition of grudge. It doesn't sound happy, does it? Grudge. That's got all kind of meaning in it just by the phonetics of the thing. Grudge. Someone said, "I grudge you." You wouldn't think they loved you, would you? Grudge. Got a bad sound, bad ring to it. And it's got a bad meaning to it also. You know what it really means? It means, well, it's a combination of words, and it means out of sorrow. It is, if we give grudgingly, it means that we give the money, but we're mad about it. It's really what it means. Not grudgingly. And heart purpose giving does not give grudgingly. When one gives from the heart, it does not create sorrow or grief. Someone said that of a certain individual who was giving, that they, when they gave, they always sang, "Blessed be the tithe," because when they and their money asunder parted, it gave them inward pain. I often wondered if we would play that for an offertory sometime, if that might not, you know, give that kind of idea that it's giving us inward pain and grief. And that's really what Paul says. You know, a person who gives and then grieves about it and is angry about it and is mad about it will create more evil than the gift will do good. That's right. You know, heart purpose giving, it doesn't give grudgingly. It doesn't give out of necessity. That is, heart purpose giving gives unnecessarily. And that's important. Not of necessity. The word necessity means force or constraint. Do not give because of force. You know, there's two kinds of pressure. There's outside pressure and inside pressure. There's the pressure we feel from our friends and neighbors, what we call peer pressure, and then there's the kind of pressure that we feel on the inside. Now, sometimes we don't do anything because we feel pressure from the outside. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do because we feel pressure from the outside. But I believe, and I think Paul is saying, that when pressure is applied from the inside, that it will redound to bounty. It'll give more than outside pressure. You know, law may force us to give a certain amount, and our obligations may force us to give a certain amount, but heart purpose giving will never be limited to the amount we would have given were it force or constraint. Our hearts will make us and cause us to give more than force and constraint. Heart purpose giving is unnecessary giving. Heart purpose giving gives cheerfully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? Well, these two things destroy the very thing that God honors, and that is that it be given cheerfully. So when a person gives in a heart purpose fashion, they give cheerfully. The word cheerfully is a word, when transliterated, is hilarious. And it means to cause to shine, one whose face shines with joy and satisfaction. Here's the idea. Paul said, don't give this way, but give this way from your heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, a cheerful gift, a gift that is a cheerful gift, is a gift that makes you smile and radiate with satisfaction. I think the idea is this, that when the offering is taken for the saints, that everyone will give so that after they've given, they feel the sheer exhilaration and joy that comes from sacrifice made in the name of Almighty God. You've given that way, and so have I. You have done things so that after you had done them, they were so good, and the level of it was so high, and the purpose of it was so noble, and the deed that it accomplished was so glorifying to God, that you felt good inside and outside and all over, and you could hardly constrain yourself from smiling. There was a graciousness about you because of the noble gift you had given. Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. But I thought God loved everybody. For God so loved the world. Well, he loves everybody. And his son died for everybody. But God loves a cheerful giver. I think God loves a grudging giver. But I think God loves a cheerful giver because that radiance of your countenance indicates a health, a spiritual health. You know, if a person can give cheerfully, they can probably do a lot of other meaningful things in the work of God. If you can turn loose of your dollars with joy, you can probably witness very well too. You could probably give up your evenings to do work. You can practice and work and sing and sacrifice and do and go all these other things. If a person can turn loose of dollars without grief and agony, probably turn loose of a lot of other things. Heart purpose giving is cheerful giving. Heart purpose giving is blessed of God. Notice in verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, God is able to prosper us. And that's what Paul is saying. Prosperity is a blessing from Almighty God. And all prosperity and all blessing, material and spiritual, come from the hand of God. But heart purpose giving is never viewed as an investment that will produce greater income. And that's what the modern day prosperity gospel is built upon. The idea of investing money in God's work for the specific purpose of making God then keep His word and bless you. The greatest proponent of this at this particular time is Oral Roberts, whose program of seed faith has accumulated millions of dollars for himself and for the activities that he's involved in. And that's not what Paul's talking about here at all. And I think I can prove that a little later in my next point. Now, I might just give you this piece of advice about Oral Roberts. Never go to a faith healer's hospital. He doesn't trust God or medicine, either one. You know, I mean, if you're going to a faith healer, don't go to one that has a hospital. He's hedging his bets, okay? I mean, if a faith healer has a hospital, just mark him off your list. He's mixed up. It doesn't work. He isn't trusting his God, nor is he trusting his doctor. He's playing both ends against the middle. Don't go, don't send you money. And if you need another list, I'll give it to you after church about who not to send you money to. Heart purpose giving gives not with the idea of an investment and a return, but with an idea of letting it go and turning it loose if you never get another nickel as long as you live. That's heart purpose giving, okay? Most people are talking about loaning God money at exorbitant interest rate. You know, you give $10, God will bless you with $1,000. Well, that's exorbitant, folk. That's what they charge when you finance a car, but it's not what they pay when you put it in the bank. Well, you know, when you put money in God's work, you're blessed 1,000-fold. And that's right, but it's not with more money. It's something better than money. You know, somebody said, well, all I got out of giving was just the blessing. Well, that's the best part of it. You know, I said, well, no, you don't understand, Brother Penn. I got the blessing out of giving, but that's all I got. Well, what do you expect? He said, well, another 1,000. I gave 10. I expect a blessing and 1,000. Folk, I'll do that all day long with God or anybody else. I mean, you only give me $1,000 every time I give you 10. Just meet me outside. And we'll get to business. I mean, I'll do it on Sunday. I don't wait till Monday. Don't look me up Monday. Look me up after service. And I'll cut it short if you want to raise your hand and say, I'm interested, okay? I mean, I can cut this off in a hurry and we can get swapping money. Now, here's what he said. Why would God bless a heart purpose giver? That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And it is in God's power to provide you richly with every good gift. Thus you will have an ample means in yourselves to meet each and every situation with enough to spare for every good cause. Heart purpose giving finds sanction in the Bible. And verse 9-10, this is part of the psalm that Brother Goodwin read this morning in a scripture reading. And this is what Paul quotes from Psalm 112. Such a giver will never be forgotten. Notice, as the scripture says, he scatters his gifts to the poor. His righteousness will never be forgotten. He who gives seed to the sower and turns that seed into bread to eat will give you the seed of generosity to sow and for harvest the satisfying bread of good deeds done. What does God's harvest consist of? The satisfying that comes, the satisfaction that comes from deeds done well, or good deeds. How would you like to never be forgotten? You know, our mortality strikes us at one time or another, and we see the phrase that's very trite and perhaps overused on most of the tombstones of our cemeteries, and they read the epitaph, gone but not forgotten. But that's not so of many people. Most people are soon forgotten. Do you know the person who isn't soon forgotten in our lives have been the generous people? Is that not true? I mean, I've heard Brother Goodwin, I've heard others talk about the kind act of some person who in their early ministry gave them a place to sleep, just a cot to sleep somewhere, and what we would call common food to eat. And yet in that hour of need, that generosity simply was something that overwhelmed and has made an indelible stamp in the mind of the grateful receiver. There are a few times in my life when I have been overwhelmed by the generosity of a person toward me and my family. And I've never forgotten that, but you know I've forgotten a lot of other things. But the heart purpose giving of other people toward us, it doesn't necessarily have to do with amount. It has to do with what they made in sacrifice for us to receive what we had. You want to blaze a trail through humanity where from generation to generation you are remembered more than if you did almost anything else, then do it with generosity. For that, the Bible promises us, will never be forgotten. Heart purpose giving produces thankfulness. In verses 11 and 12, Paul said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Being enriched everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. What does Paul mean? Well, he means that this bounty, this overmuch, this upon type giving causes through us or by us thanksgiving to God. You know, the people who receive, who are the recipients of a generous soul, of a heart purpose giver, they immediately open their hearts and their voices in thanksgiving to Almighty God. Can you imagine what happened at the church at Jerusalem when, starving and in need, deprived of even the necessary things of life, can you imagine how thankful these people were when the approved brethren, the approved brethren came into the city of Jerusalem and to the gathering of the saints there and said, "Here is a gift from all your brothers and sisters in Macedonia and Achaia," and poured out this liberal gift before those saints. They, hungry, starved, and in need, immediately, Paul said, their reaction will be to lift up their voices and give thanksgiving to Almighty God. And you know, I've never been as thankful as when I had something to give. Have you? I mean, I'm thankful I can give to this church. Yeah, I'm thankful, you know, that I can sit down every Saturday night and write a check and give to this church. It creates within me thanksgiving. And Paul said it creates thanksgiving in other areas, that it proves to people how seriously we take the gospel of Christ, how it glorifies God. It produces thankfulness not only in the recipient, but I think it produces thanksgiving in those who give. And then in verse 13, heart purpose giving glorifies God. Notice, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal contribution unto them and all men. It says that this glorified God. And what do we mean, glorify God? Well, it means that people began to speak well of their God, of the God who had liberated them, the God who had motivated them, the God who had blessed them. You see, in this area of the world, gods, quote, were in competition one with another. The pagan gods were in competition with the Jewish God. And now there is another, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Jewish God, and now they have the way. And how are we going to make any kind of comparison? What judgment will people use to judge the Christian's God? The way the Christians live. That's the way they judge the Christian God. Paul said this will glorify the experiment, proof or approval, the proved integrity their liberality would bring glory to God. By the evidence of this service, you procure glory to God for your loyalty to your profession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contributions for them and for all. Heart purpose giving makes the giver desirable. Would you like for people to want to see you? Yeah, it's a rather strange thing. There are some people in this church that people in India want to see. I mean, tell me, constantly. And they don't know anything but names. I can mention some names, people who've been here, who've been involved in Indian mission work, who've written, sent cards, and they inquire. And you know, they want to see a photograph. One thing they rebuked me for the last time I was in India, said, "Brother Penn, you don't have any photographs of the people. I want to see a photograph of brother." And what about brother and sister so-and-so? What about, I want to see them. They long for you. You know why? Because your name is attached to generosity. Your name is attached to heart purpose activity. They want to see you. They long for you. And this is what Paul meant. "And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you." The saints prayed for them. The saints long for them, that is the saints at Jerusalem. Oh, we can always what if and suppose and all that, but you know, if you suddenly were given several hundred thousand dollars, you'd want to know and you'd want to see. Would you not want to meet the benefactor? I cannot conceive of anyone being so selfish, so self-centered, that if someone gave them $1 million, that you wouldn't immediately say, "Who gave it to me? And they said, well, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. And you'd say, well, could I meet them? Could I shake their hand? Could I tell them, hey, I appreciate it. I want to see the man, the woman, the person who has made this possible. I'd like to thank the one who in their generosity and liberal-mindedness from a financial viewpoint for what they have bestowed upon me. Can I not say thank you? And Paul said, heart purpose giving makes us lovely and desirable to the people who receive our gifts. And in verse 15, I think we can see that heart purpose giving is the way God gives. For God so loved. Where's love found? It's in the heart, is it not? For God so loved the world that He gave. That's heart purpose. God didn't expect to get anything back except our love. God didn't send His Son to die on the cross as an investment. He sowed bountifully. The sacrifice of the Son of God was adequate for the whole human race, from Adam to the last child born when in time Jesus comes again. Everyone can be saved in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And it was heart purpose giving, not head giving or investment giving, that motivated the God of all things to become human flesh so that He might die. And you know, that's the only thing that God couldn't die, not being a human. You know, He had to become a human for one primary purpose, and that is to die. Because as God, He could never die. And therefore, none of us could ever have been saved. But He gave Himself that He might die. That's why He gave Himself, that He might die. Not that He might live, but that He might die. That's heart purpose giving. That's not head giving that rationalizes what will I get out of it and what will happen to me if I don't. It's not the kind of giving that is intimidated and fearful. It's not the kind of gimme giving that we hear about today. It's just completely and totally from the heart. Heart purpose giving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that word means what cannot be told out to the end. The details are unknown. Unspeakable gift. It is a gift that we couldn't ever get to the limits of description and admiration and talking if we talked from now on. It's an unending kind of compliment. You know, you just have to say, well, I've said all I can, but I haven't said enough. And that's what Paul meant. When you've talked about the love of God and used every adjective in the human language, you still would not have found words to describe the love of God. It'd be an inadequate vocabulary. Though we could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, we still could not end our description of the love of God, for we would still be wanting, though we spoke for a lifetime. God's unspeakable, indescribable gift from His heart to our heart. So let a man give. How? As he purposes in his heart.